This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Good morning, everyone. God is good. He really is. And Jesus is Lord. And this is going to work. Great to see you finally. Sorry we didn't get to you in March, but not only our house was shut down, the city was shut down. And if you know Cardiff, that does not happen in Cardiff. It never snows in Cardiff, but when it does, man, it really does. But it's great to be with you, and I'm sorry we can't be with you tonight at the meeting, because we're over 30.
Special
I know we don't look it. You missed an opportunity then.
Under 30 and those who look like they're under 30.
Okay.
That was for you, Roger.
For me? He didn't mention you, but he didn't say anything about you, Pat.
There's not even any question.
No question at all. Right. Praise God. It's really good to see you. Would you just take your Bible, please? Just hold your Bible. Whichever form it's in, electronic or... Just hold it up. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have spoken to us through this word.
Yes.
And every time we read it, you speak to us again.
Yes.
We thank you. There's power in it because it's your word.
Yes.
And while we read words on a page, we thank you they're like no other words because they are words of life. And change and power. And as we read them and as we talk about them, pray that you'll continue to change and transform us more and more into the men and women that you always destined us to be. We want to thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you turn in this word then to Hebrews, please? I appreciate Matthew and Paul saying to us and coming to share with you this morning what was on our heart. And it's a bit difficult sometimes because sometimes when someone says to you, share what's on your heart, you have a million things on your heart.
Yes.
But it's great when you, there are certain things in life wherever you go that the people are calling on and calling out from you. And in praying for you this week and believing what the Lord wants to say to us, I'm going to talk to you about faith. So could you say that word? Say faith?
Faith.
Faith. It's a funny little word, but it's a very important word for us. And we're going to look at a very important aspect of faith, that faith speaks. Faith doesn't have to shout, but if you have a faith, your faith will result in something coming out of your mouth. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, it better be, because that's what we're going to look at. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 32. And we read on to the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 11. They're well-known verses. Remember the earlier days when after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions. And at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and you accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need endurance, so that after you've done God's will, you may receive what he promised you.
Thank you, Lord.
For in yet a very little while, the coming one, that's Jesus, will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed. Say that again. We are not those who draw back and are destroyed. We are those who have faith. And we obtain life. Now let's read that again. We are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and obtain life. That's who we are. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It's the proof of what isn't seen. For by it, our ancestors were approved. Now, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen has been made from things that aren't visible. And by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by this, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he's dead, he still speaks through this. And by faith, Enoch was taken away so he didn't experience death. And he wasn't to be found because God took him away. For prior to his transformation, he was approved by God, having pleased God. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There's several hallmarks about the righteous. And I sometimes think, I know I'm guilty, we can make Christianity very complicated. It's very complicated, but really, in certain things, it's very simple. And one of the simple things is this, that the righteous live by faith. You're righteous, aren't you?
Yes.
You live by faith.
Amen.
Faith is, you don't have to go and get it and earn it and sweat and strive for it. Faith is a gift that God gives you. God knows you need faith, so he gives you faith. Isn't he good?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now we have a responsibility to appropriate it. But the righteous live by faith. Now, our faith is not in faith. Sometimes I hear people say, I've got to get faith for this. As if it's something that they've got to have a belief in this thing to get it. That's not faith. Your faith is always in God. That's what makes faith real. Shall I move that free out of the way for you? Is that better? Faith is in God. Not faith in faith. Otherwise, you'll miss it. And the Bible says here, in Hebrews 11, without faith, it's actually impossible to please God. Not difficult. It's impossible. Now, I used to read that and thinking, man, God doesn't really like me. You know, God has made it as difficult my life as possible. Then he says, Roger, you've got to have faith, and you don't have any faith, and you don't please me at all. But then I began to realize I was reading that verse all the way around, the wrong way around. It's very easy to please God. Did you know that? God loves to be pleased. And he says, all you have to do to please me is live by faith. And because I'm a good God, and because everything I do is good, I'm going to make it easy for you by giving you faith. He gets everything. It's a winner. It's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it win-win?
Yeah.
It must be. If God says to you, Chris, it's faith. And you say, God, boy, he says, and here it is. And that's what you do.
Amen.
Now, what is faith? I read a lot of people, they talk a lot about what faith is. And you get all these complicated definitions. Well, faith is very simple. Let me tell you what faith is. So once in your life, you can hear what faith really is. Now, in the New Testament, the word faith, the word trust, the word believe are often the same word. So where you see the word trust, where you see the word believe or faith, it's oftentimes the same word. But the word faith in the New Testament means very simply to be 100% convinced of something. That there's no doubt, no uncertainty at all. That's all faith is. Faith means that you believe or trust completely something you heard somebody say. You heard somebody say something and you believed it. No doubt, no uncertainty. That's all that faith is. All right? So faith is basically based on words. Faith is hearing somebody say something to you and believing completely what that person said. That's all faith is. No doubt, no uncertainty, no what if, no questioning. See, that's it. I heard it, and I believe it. You say, oh, that's difficult. No, that's very easy. You just have to believe. Now, by implication then, or by extension, you don't only believe the word you hear, but you believe 100%, you have 100% trust or confidence or faith in the person who said those words. You understand that? That behind the words, there's a person who's said it, who told it to you. So it's not just, man, I've got to believe a word. No, I believe also the person who spoke that word to me. That's the biggest thing of all. Suddenly, you put faith in the context of the person who speaks it to you. And the person who speaks faith to you is God. And God himself. And that's why Psalm 138 says, Lord, you've exalted above all things your name and your word, your promise. They're almost synonymous. They're not the same thing, but they're almost the same thing. Because God says, I am my word. Everything I tell you, you can believe and trust. So when God tells you, nothing can stop the Lord Almighty, guess what? Nothing can stop the Lord Almighty. You say, but no, nothing can stop the Lord Almighty. Fact. Question is, do I believe that? No. Do I believe him? If I believe him, I believe what he tells me. Now, the interesting thing then about faith, even though it's a gift and though it's easy, there's something about faith you have to understand. The faith is not static. Faith comes to you. Yes. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, does anybody know that verse? Romans chapter 10 tells you, faith comes. How does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing. So that tells you, there's faith is there. There's all the faith in the world in this room right now. But you have to hear it. And faith comes to you by hearing, and it tells you by hearing words. So faith is all to do with hearing words. You hear somebody say something. So you've got to have something to hear. And when you hear it, you believe it. Now, that's why the word hear is also important, because the word hear in the New Testament is not just hearing a word, the physical act of hearing a word. You're hearing my words right now, but you might not be hearing what I'm saying. That happened to me sometimes, because the word to hear means to receive something you hear into your heart. That's what the word means. It becomes part of you. Has anybody ever said something to you and you said, man, it was like a knife going through me? Mm-hmm. You ever had that?
Yeah.
A cruel word or something like that. Or whatever it was, and you think, ooh, that got into me. And you're lying in bed at night thinking, man, I just can't get. It's like that song, you know, we used to sing, I know a song that'll get on your nerves, get on your nerves, get on your nerves. I know a song that'll get on your nerves. And you're thinking, 3 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, you'll be waking up thinking, that guy, he sang that song, I know a song, and you think, I can't get it out of my head. And you're trying to think of all nice things, and you're thinking, I know a song that'll get on your nerves, get on. And it gets into you. That's what hearing does. It's not just hearing words. I mean, my darling wife is here. She won't mind saying this. I remember one time she said to me one Saturday morning, come on then, let's get your coat on. Let's get in the car. We're going. I said, well, it's Saturday morning. Where are we going? I thought, this doesn't sound good. This is not good. She said, we're going down to MacArthur Glen, going down to the shopping center. I thought, man, it's Saturday, and I don't do MacArthur Glen. Especially on a Saturday, especially with Diane, because Diane likes to feel every piece of cloth that's on sale. Don't you? Admit. Me, I go on Amazon, I'll have that one. But she said to me, come on, we're going. I said, well, where are we going to MacArthur Glen? She said, well, you agreed to come with me. I said, I did no such thing. She said, yes, you did. She said, I asked you if you come to MacArthur Glen with me on Saturday. And you said, yes. And I said, when did I say that? She said, on Wednesday night when you're watching the football. And I thought, got me. I didn't hear a word she said. All I heard was, no, 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 no. And because it's my wife, I said, yes, Pat. For her, she spoke to me and said something, and she had the, yes, Pat. For me, I never heard a word. Nothing got into me at all, but when it did get to me on the Saturday morning, we're going to MacArthur Glen, I thought, it's in me right now. I'm better now, but it's it got into me. But when you hear by faith, when you hear something, the word you hear actually becomes part of you. That's what faith does. You hear it and it gets into you. It's often said that we are what we eat, and we might well be, but you actually are what you hear and believe. Every one of us is the product where we're at in our life of what we've heard and what we have chosen to believe. Every one of us. Now that's why, therefore, when you hear God speak to you and you believe it, you have faith, anything that you hear that's contrary to that doesn't find any room in you. You hear that, anything that's contrary to it, you disregard it. That's simply what faith does. Okay? It's not a technique. I heard this. Well, what about, I've heard this. You reject it. But you don't think about things. Yes, you think. But when it comes to hearing God and God tells you something, boom, anything that comes contrary to it, you say, I'm sorry, I cannot receive that. Why? Because God called me something different. Who am I going to believe? That's why faith is very simple. And the choices you make. Therefore, it's easy to live by faith in God. I'm not diminishing it at all. Your default setting is faith. Okay? Your default setting is faith in God. You don't set your own user setting. I know I'm treading on careful ground here because I'm not a computer expert. But I hate it when someone gets hold of my computer and they change things around. Do you ever find that? Well, I thought it would run better like this. I thought it was perfect the way it was. But you have a default setting. Your user setting is not, yeah, but I'm a worrier. No, you're not a worrier. You're righteous. You live by faith. Yes. See, I'm telling you truth now. Yes. Because that's what God says about you. Yes. The righteous live not by worrying. How do the righteous live? By faith. So the righteous don't live by worrying. When the righteous face something, they don't worry. They exercise faith. See, but whatever your experience is, the righteous live by faith, not by worrying. Your default setting is not worry. Your default setting is not, well, I have an open mind. I like to think about many things. Yes, you think. Christians have the most open minds. You're thinking about many, many things. But when it comes to faith, when God says something, I believe that. Yes. That's why there's a little saying that says, faith is this. God said it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And you think, that's very simplistic. Yes, it is. But I guarantee if we begin to live as people who say, would you say that with me? God said it. Say that. God said it. Could you say that? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's faith. It's not shouting. It's just believing. Okay? Now, I'm sensing this morning that the Lord is doing something in your minds. Not because you're not people of faith. It's because you are people of faith. But you're realizing faith is much simpler than you think. If I can live by faith, anybody can live by faith. Now, the aspect of faith I want to share with you that really is important is that faith speaks. Okay? Faith speaks. Let's look at some scriptures. Romans chapter 10, please. Doing okay so far? Good. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm not going to make you stand on a chair and shout. Faith speaks. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. Just look at some of these scriptures, the theme and what it says. Romans 10 verse 6 says, "The righteousness," there it is again, "the righteousness that is by faith says something. It says, don't say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That's to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the deep?' That's to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? It says, 'The word is near you. The word is in your mouth and the word is in your heart.' That's the message concerning faith that we proclaim. That if you," and I'm going to use, "that if you speak agreement with your mouth, Jesus is Lord." You've probably got the word confess there, have you? "If you speak agreement with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you have faith in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved." That's good news, isn't it? "For it's with your heart that you have faith and are made right with God. And it's with your mouth that you speak agreement and are saved." That's dynamic. That's powerful, isn't it? We're going to unwrap that in a second. Now go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Thank you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Just letting the Bible speak for itself. Matthew 12, verse 33. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 12, 33. Jesus said, "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers," he's speaking to the Pharisees, "how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of," or out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, "A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone," now listen to this, "every one of you will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty, idle, or unproductive word you've spoken." Wow. It's not just the acts. He says, "For by your words, you're going to be acquitted. And by your words, you'll be condemned." Now, suddenly that brings what comes out of my mouth into sharp focus, doesn't it? That what I'm speaking really determines my destiny. It really does. What comes out of my mouth. So I don't say, "I'm going to say nothing. I will say nothing ever again just to make sure when I get there." No. We just have to learn to speak properly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 then. Finally, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Just want to show you that this is not a little technique. This is fundamental living by faith, that faith speaks. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "It's written," and he's quoting Psalm 116. He says, "It's written, 'I believed, I had faith, therefore I've spoken.' I believe, and the natural outcome is, I've spoken." So he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak. So there's a direct correlation in the Bible between faith, exercising faith, and speaking that faith. Okay? And here's a great revelation for you. Faith speaks. Guess what faith speaks? Faith. Faith speaks faith, doesn't it? You know, you look like intelligent people. That's easy. That's a natural outcome. Faith speaks faith. Faith does not speak cynicism. Faith does not speak worry. Faith does not speak negativity. Faith speaks faith. Amen. Very important to understand that. And so in the New Testament, there's a direct correlation between faith and speaking, or what we call believing and confessing. Romans 10, the scripture we looked at, says, Every one of us, if you're a Christian, this is how you became a Christian. This is what actually happened to you. You became a Christian by exercising faith, belief, and by speaking. You had to believe something, and you had to say something. Now, if you've never done that, you're not yet born again. You can believe, but unless you have confessed Jesus as your Lord, you're not yet saved. But you can be today. That's the good news. You see, you become a Christian by believing and by speaking. You have to say something. It's impossible to be a silent Christian. Okay? Sometimes people talk about being the strong, silent type. Usually men. But it's no such thing. If you're strong, you're not silent. And if you're silent, you're not strong. Because biblically, faith and speaking go together. All right? I'm not talking about shouting or just babbling and stuff, getting stuff out of your mouth. No. You speak what you believe. Okay? And what you believe, you speak. Okay? Bible shows us in Romans 10, and if this is all you get, then get this today. You had to say something, you had to speak in order to be saved. Now, when I've used the word speak agreement, your Bible might say confession. I put that in because the word confess in the New Testament doesn't mean the same as when we own up to something, when we're called out and we confess. It means something quite different. The word confession in the New Testament means to speak the same words as somebody. It means to speak in agreement with what somebody has already said. It means to agree verbally with what you heard somebody say. Okay? It means to speak with the same voice. So when you confess Jesus as Lord, you spoke something that somebody else had already said. Yeah. Now, confession is not a technique. When we talk about confession, speaking, it's not just repeating words. I could get you right now just to repeat parrot fashion. Good night. You know, like Simon says, I could get you to say gobbledygook, and you'd all have to say gobbledygook. Yeah, it's not that. Or it's not trying to say, well, sometimes people, we talk about amen at the end, people say amen. And people say, can I get an amen on that? And you're thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or the sermon's been going on and on, and everybody's saying, amen, amen. And the preacher thinking, they're really agreeing. No, they're saying, please, would you stop right now and eat a cup of coffee? It's not that. Your confession is one of the most powerful things you do as a believer. Because you're speaking out what you believe. Your confession is your verbal agreement with what you hear. But before you confess or speak agreement, you have to have something you believe to agree with. So if no one is saying anything, if you're not hearing anything, you've got no basis to confess, have you? I could be standing here right now going, it's probably the best I've ever preached. Just standing here. You say, well, give me something. But if there's nothing to hear, to believe, there's nothing to agree with. But the great thing is God doesn't leave us like that. Okay? Now, if you just turn to a scripture that's very important. Look at you. I want to show you something, why confession is important. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Now, this is not a one-off. This is a process that you live by all your life. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. He said this. Whoever acknowledges, that word is the same word confesses. Whoever speaks in agreement, okay, who confesses me before men, before people, I will acknowledge, I will confess him before the Father. Jesus also agrees. Did you see that? He says, when I hear something, I will speak in agreement. Now, this is where we get this now. when you confessed your faith, whether it was when you heard the gospel and you came to that moment of realizing you were going to be born again, it's a fantastic moment. You probably had no concept what was going on, except the fact you were believing and you were making a prayer. Someone said, would you pray this prayer with me? That's your confession. You prayed something, didn't you? You said something. Or when the moment they put you in the baptismal pool and they said, are you confessing Jesus as your Lord? Yes, I am. Something happened. No, this is what actually happened. When you confessed your faith, you spoke in agreement with God the Father himself. That's how big this is, folks. You spoke in agreement with God the Father regarding what he had already said about his son, Jesus. Because he said, my son is Lord. Philippians chapter 2. He gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus. In that moment of verbal agreement, when you spoke something, God the Father heard you and Jesus also heard you. Did you know that? That's amazing. You had Jesus' full attention and God the Father's full attention in the moment that you prayed that prayer and you believed in your heart. That's how big this is. No, it wasn't a small thing, your salvation. It was massive. Changed everything. In that moment, Jesus also heard you. And he agreed with you. God the Father heard you. Jesus heard you. And Jesus agreed with you, Pat. He then spoke that agreement to the Father. He said, Father, Pat, we've been waiting for this moment. She's believed and she is now agreeing that I am her Lord. In that moment, God the Father said, write that lady's name in the book of life. But he couldn't do that until you said something. That was the moment you were saved. You believe and are justified, made right, but you have to speak.
Amen.
And in the moment you speak, you say something, you're saved. That tells me there's a creative power in what I say. Do you agree with that? Isn't there? What comes out of my mouth is not just words. There's a creative power that comes out from me. Because the moment I did that, I became a new creation. That's why Proverbs says the tongue has the power of life and death. You see, confession establishes facts. Listen to some scriptures. There's a law in the scriptures called the law of establishment. And I'll read a couple of scriptures. In Deuteronomy it says this. One witness is not enough to convict a person accused of a crime he may have committed. A matter must be established by the spoken testimony of two or three witnesses. Jesus said this in Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he won't listen, take it two others along, or one or two others, so that, and he quotes this, every matter may be established by the testimony, the spoken agreement of two or three witnesses. Now, the truth of a matter could only be established on the spoken agreement of two or three. But once the two or three spoke agreement, that matter was established. It was fact. It was regarded as real only when two or three agreed. Now, the matter might well have been true. He might well have been guilty of the offense. But you couldn't establish the fact on the word of one. You needed the spoken agreement of two or three. Now, the same principle works in our confession. God's word is never in doubt. Okay? But when it comes to my agreement with God, God is the first witness and everything he says is true, right? But when I confess him, when I agree with him, when I hear God speak and when I exercise faith, not just when I'm at my new birth, whenever I exercise faith and I speak agreement, My word becomes a second witness, and the truth of what God has said becomes a reality for me. Every time I agree, something of the truth of that truth becomes mine. It's not just, oh, we had a time of agreement. We all had to say agreement. Something happens to you. Every time you hear someone say, God is good, and you say, that's right, something happens to you.
That's right.
It just does. Something of the truth of the goodness of God seeps down into you and it becomes more and more established in you. So that when anything comes to militate against that, you say, I'm sorry, I don't care what happens. I know that God is good.
Yes, amen.
And that's what happens. In fact, whenever we confess the same as God, our words have the same power as God. It'll come out. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth will speak. And what comes out of us is either faith or unbelief. So that means I don't say, well, I'm going to keep quiet. Because even your silence speaks volumes. Because a voice told you to be quiet. If someone says to me something that's true, of faith, and I just sit there, it means I don't agree. You say, no, I believe it. But until I speak it, something of the reality of that does not become mine. That's just a spiritual principle. Okay? So our faith rises to the level or sinks to the level of our confession. Now, I'm not talking about shouting and just shouting, mouthing off stuff. But when you hear something and you believe it, it comes down into your heart and you speak in agreement, the first person to hear what you say is you. Isn't it? So when I say, there's no one here right now, but I have heard in the word that God is good, I say, God is good. I hear that because God has said so. I agree with God. And it comes back into my heart and I'm building myself up. It's very important. You feed faith to yourself by what you say because all your words go somewhere. Now, it's a very simple process. Now, confession then is the fuel that fires your faith. There's many practical applications. I'm going to give you one right now as we finish. It's a very simple application. Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, do you know what happens? It'll be done for you. So it's not like agreement. I'm really after a Lamborghini.
Yeah, me too.
I've really got my eye. Could you agree with me about a Lamborghini?
Absolutely.
That's not what Jesus meant. He says, when you pray, when you get in touch with God, if you hear God on something, God speaks to you, you can get someone to stand with you and agree concerning on earth, concerning this thing that you've heard about, it will be done for you.
That's right.
Why? Because you agree. It's nothing to do with God's ability. Nothing's impossible with God. But he says, I want to unlock in you a power to work with me that when you are praying and when you are hearing me speak, and if two or three of you agree on earth, it'll be done for you. There's a power when you agree with one another.
Yeah.
Because when I hear you speak to me faith and I agree, it not only does something to me, it does something to you.
Yeah,
my friend Paul. Let me illustrate this. I'd like you right now just to hear from God and speak truth to me. Watch my response. You speak truth to me. Whatever it is, good truth, Bible verse, whatever it is, you just speak truth to me.
Your words have the power to raise people from death to life.
That's right. Keep going.
And God wants you to
Come on.
And God wants you to know that he wants you to move in a 360-degree manner in which you're going to speak to those who speak to you.
Right.
You're going to speak to those who yes. you share shoulders with.
Yeah.
And you're going to continue to speak to those people who look up to you
right.
for the words of
praise
life.
God. Right.
Amen.
Fantastic. Now tell me something true about God.
He's the beginning and the end.
Yes, he is.
If you know him truly, there's no shadow of a chance that he will ever disappoint
That's
you.
That's right.
And he is ultimately always got the final answer. Even when the enemy thinks that he's got the nail in the coffin, God will always turn up and say, wrong coffin, wrong nail.
Right.
He's always got a better answer.
Yes.
And a better way.
Yes.
For everybody.
That's right.
At any time.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you. Matthew, your turn. Speak truth. Whatever it is. Truth about God, truth about the word, truth about Jesus. Speak the word to me.
My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Yes, he will. He will. Keep going.
And he's going to multiply your needs so that he can multiply his provision.
Come on.
Wow.
Amen.
I'm processing that one. Yes, I agree.
Because God's going to begin to take you into situations where you see needs, and there's going to be a rise of faith within you to own the need.
Yes.
So that you can be the means of God's provision.
Wow. Amen. Now give me a whole lot of other stuff again. Okay. You watch this time. Watch this time. Whatever it is, Bible, it can be anything, anything true. Doesn't have to be a word for me.
He's your strength. He's your provider. He's your comforter. He's your counselor. He's your rest. He's your life. He's your joy.
It's different, isn't it? Mm. Did you notice the difference? The first time, I agreed with him because I believe it. Something happened to me when he said that. But something also happened to you. Mm. It read back to you.
Yeah.
Because it's also true for you.
That's right.
But also my amen fed you more.
Yeah.
Built your faith.
Yeah.
You confessed more. You didn't enjoy the second one so much, did you?
No, I thought I was doing it wrong.
Do you notice that? He thought he was doing it wrong. But every word he said was right. And you know what? I believed every word you said. But there was no power. None of that became mine. None of it became mine. Do you know why? Because I never said anything.
Right.
So all the word, all the truth he said is true, but it's not mine. Because I haven't appropriated it. But you believed it? Oh, I believed it. But I never said. I never said. And it's not, so I have to say amen, it can be good call.
Yeah.
That's right, yes. I agree. Yeah, Boreda, whatever it is. But you have to say something.
Yes.
And we're going to finish there. But what I'm sharing with you this morning, if you embrace it, it will change your life. But I'm going to finish by giving you an opportunity to agree. And I'm going to say some things, and if you believe them, speak an agreement, whatever you want, whatever language you speak, if it's the language of heaven, Welsh, or whatever it is, speak an agreement. You don't have to shout, but I'm going to say some things that are true. You ready?
Yeah.
With God, all things are possible.
Yes.
I'm not looking to see who's speaking. This is not class. You say, I believe that, but if you didn't say anything, it's not yours yet. Because you're going to face impossible things, and you think, my God can't do that. I'm going to say it again. With God, all things are possible.
Yes.
Nothing can stop the Lord Almighty. Your future is better than your present. The best days of this church are in the past. Who said no? You're the only one who disagreed with me. They all believe it. Well, I didn't hear anything.
You heard silence.
I heard something. I heard silence. So I better say it again. The best days of this church are in the past. You just exercised the power of disagreement. She's also powerful. Therefore, the best days of this church are yet to come. No weapon formed against you can stand. No weapon formed against you can stand. That's right. So you didn't have to shout. You believe it? You agreed? It's yours. No weapon formed against you can stand. God is good.
Yes, He is.
That's true.
You are not a sinner. You are a child of God.
Amen.
Finally, today is a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
I've just given you a very simple biblical principle. It's not complicated, it's not rocket science. But I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you begin to speak your faith and not be quiet, silent when you need to speak, I guarantee you, your life will revolutionize. And you will see things happen that you've wanted to see happen, but you've never spoken them out. And the reason why they're yet to happen is because your faith has yet to be activated by what you speak. So God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.